The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama. Sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store. An interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
The city lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
Welcome to the Armed Alabama Show for May 28th, 2019. This is NRA Certified Firearms Instructor Will Case. With me is my co-host, NRA Certified Firearms Instructor and retired Alabama Circuit Judge, Rusty Johnston, the judge.
Hey there.
Adam Strange is taking a little break this evening, giving me the chair, thankfully. Armed Alabama is Alabama's only firearms-based FM radio talk show. We talk about pistols, revolvers, shotguns, rifles, carbines, self-defense, concealed carry, ammunition, firearms, training, and attacks on our God-given rights to protect ourselves and our family. This is the program where you get no PC, no Marxism, no progressivism. Some topics may not be suitable for the snowflakes out there. If you have never heard the Armed Alabama Show, start listening to us every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on FM Talk 106.5 here in Mobile, Alabama. If you're out of the broadcast area, you can listen online at www.fmtalk1065.com. We are also live streaming this show on our YouTube channel. Just enter Armed Alabama in the YouTube search box and subscribe to the channel so you will get notices of all live broadcasts. Unless something changes, we will no longer live stream on Facebook as YouTube is giving us much better quality. Of course, we will keep our Facebook page active at Armed Alabama Radio FM Talk 106.5. So sit back, have another sip of Early Times or some Dr. Tishner's, which I didn't know what that was until earlier today. Whatever your preference, because we have a great show for you.
Now, Will, we're going to talk about what tonight? We had a topic we
Our topic is going to be where you can legally carry a pistol in the state of Alabama, either with a permit or exercising your open carry rights.
You know, Will, the reason I thought of that, I was on a, I guess it's a legal information page called NOLA, but it's not New Orleans, all over the country, and they had Alabama firearms laws, and they went through an exhaustive example of a statute that was declared unconstitutional, 5 years ago, that used to say, except on property owned or controlled by you, you may not carry it. And Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. It's just big as life. I write up this long just to help them out. Can't ever find a contact. It was really irritating. I finally found their Facebook page and sent it as a message to them there because I had to get rid of it. You know, it was going to burn me up.
They're going to put the information out. They need up-to-date information.
Well, that's right. And this is, if it's not like 6 months ago. I mean, it was a long time ago. I think 14 or 15.
Nice. Well, this is a great topic because I am always getting asked, especially the school zone. You know, that's a huge thing. I mean, if you're carrying, I carry everywhere I go, just about as long as I'm legal. I don't want to carry anywhere that you can't carry because I don't want to lose my rights for something stupid like that.
Yeah,
but I want to carry it everywhere I can legally carry it.
Well, that's right.
And so it's kind of one of those to know where you can't
absolutely
do it.
Absolutely,
and they kind of try to, I hate to say, fool you about the school zones. because years ago, I'll say 20 years ago, they passed a gun-free school zone act.
Sleepy Joe.
Yeah, and the U.S. Supreme Court for once invalidated the act because they passed it claiming, you know, under the Commerce Clause, that if we don't have educated children interacting in interstate commerce, we're going to have another depression, blah, 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 blah. Supreme Court struck it down, and they changed that law. And if you look at the ATF site, they don't quite tell you the whole truth. They say that you can't carry in a gun-free school zone. The last part of that statute is unless you have been issued a permit by your state, I think, that checks to make sure that you are legally qualified to own a firearm.
Right.
So now I know people that have kids in school. You know, they could retaliate against your kids. So, you know, you want to go deep cover. But
it's not someplace you want to go open carrying. You don't want to be that dad that gets or mom that gets the cops called and gets the school on lockdown.
Yep.
But, you know, there.
What do they call that when you. Not doxing, what?
Swatting.
Swatting, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want anybody to swat you.
That's, yeah, you might get killed.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
Justice Scalia pointed out that when he was 16, he lived in New York City, went to a military school, and then he carried his target rifle. He was on the target team on the subway every day. And he said, we need to get back to where people aren't afraid of guns like they're rattlesnakes.
Right.
And that's why I was watching some of these. I was tempted to post them, but I didn't want to really change the aspect of the show. Some of these people that are kind of doing Second Amendment audits, as they call it, and the police always tell them, well, we had to come by because we got five or six calls. There's a guy walking around with a gun.
Right.
Well, Judge, let me share a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we don't ride subways around here, but I've done it before. If I'm riding on a subway and I look up a few seats and I see somebody there, obviously with a long gun in a satchel.
And how about a uniform, though, too?
Well, the question becomes, I don't know if this guy has a permit or even needs one. I don't know if I should be afraid of this guy or feel threatened by them or feel comforted that he's carrying a firearm on this public transportation.
Well, I'll tell you the easy way to tell.
So
criminals usually don't carry openly like that.
And I'm not going to go ask them.
Yeah, right. That's exactly. I was going to say the same thing, Judge. I mean, criminals usually are trying to conceal their actions. They're not going to just blatantly walk around with a gun in a case or open. They're going to try to hide the fact that they have a gun.
I'll tell you the perfect time I was kind of subjected to this. When I was on the bench, I had almost a Marine haircut, real short. Always wore, a dark suit, looked like an FBI agent. But I always had my Beretta M9 on, too, and a level 2 retention holster. I usually had my badge next to it, but not always. In a restaurant with two or three other lawyers, older woman comes up and said, I almost had a heart attack when I saw your gun until I saw that badge. I thought, well, it could be fake. I mean, why, if you're going to be.
Yeah,
but I thought, why would
badges.
If somebody that's dressed like that is having a business meeting, obviously, right. Pull out his gun and shoot up the place?
Well, you can order, if you're a concealed carry, I don't even know if you have to be a concealed carry permit holder. You can order a badge that just says concealed carry permit.
Yeah,
just concealed carry holder.
Yeah, unless you get up on it, nobody's going
to
tell
looks
what
like
it is.
Looks like a real badge to me if you look at it from the
And it's really
the
ID that makes the difference because, you have official government ID that says you it's really crazy. But on the, I guess, little clue I put up on one of the notices, you can't carry a gun into a bar. Well, in the state of Alabama, you can.
Bars you're better off carrying.
Absolutely. Well, and there was a case, and I know one in South Carolina, where a bar patron with his concealed carry firearm stopped a mass shooting.
Right.
And my advice always is, if you're going to go into a bar, it's better not to drink. But if you are going to have a drink, drink at a level that's going to keep it under the driving limit, which is about one beer an hour.
Well, if there was one concealed carry holder in the Pulse nightclub.
There you go.
49 people.
That's right.
Would still be alive.
And
absolutely.
It's not that it makes it illegal if you've had maybe a little too much to drink. It's just your judgment becomes questioned. Oh, did you really know what was going on?
And your reflexes, too.
Yeah. And if you're about 0.08, they're going to have to get an expert to testify right. that your judgment was impaired.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we'll go over some other myths like that. And remember our number here, 251-343-0106. Call or text. We also have a chat box, it should be, to the right of the YouTube broadcast. And we'll try to answer any questions that are there, too. So to take care of those. But it's not as complicated as you'd think.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back after this brief break with more of Armed Alabama.
They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. Here's Johnny.
What movie did that come from? We're back on it. Well, what movie did that come from?
That's sounds like The Shining to me.
That's The Shining, and the reason we use that is, you know, people make a generic statement. Well, you can't shoot through a door. Well, if the threat is still imminent, you can.
Yeah, if they're chopping through the door, I'm going to shoot through that door.
And you know he's a maniac, saying he's going to kill you. But if it's a solid wood door and somebody taps on it, maybe, you know, if you shoot through and it's a fireman, you've got a lot of trouble.
Well, yeah, it goes back to making sure you know what you're shooting at. Exactly. You know, safety 101, and you don't want to shoot a relative or something like that. We've talked about that before. You know, you just got to always make sure who you're shooting at or what you're
and
shooting
sometimes
at.
You know, with people taking care of relatives at home, there may be somebody with Alzheimer's,
right?
Or exactly. In my case, one time a drunk went to the wrong house and my neighbor shot through the door, but fortunately it didn't hit the drunk.
Thank God.
Yeah, but you know, one of your children could come by your house at 1 in the morning just to check on you.
Right. That it is a tragedy when I read stories about a dad or somebody shooting one of their kids through the door.
That my father pulled terrible. A pistol on me. I came home from college, and I came home about 2 hours too late. House is all dark. Who is it?
I bet you didn't do that again.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't get it. Disarm him just to embarrass him. But let's talk about some other places. Now, we got into this Waffle House issue. Waffle House has – they can put up anything they want, I guess. But under the law, their signs they put up are invalid because they don't have – 24 or the times they're opening, they don't have guards at the place, right. Electronic biometric scanning devices. And the idea is if you're going to have that kind of stuff, then you're providing, at least in theory, some measure of protection.
Right.
But now you're totally disarming it. I went and looked at the Waffle House right next to the studio over here, and it's got – you can almost see them on the Google Street View.
Right.
They're yellow, and they're kind of at the end of the parking lot. Well, let's see. We've got Mike from Grand Bay teaching gun usage and safety. Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Fine.
I had an accident a couple of days back. I was in the hospital.
Uh-oh. I hope it wasn't with a gun.
On the back porch, and immediately the board I was standing on collapsed, and I landed hard on my groin and my knee.
Ooh.
Under my knee, and thank God the groin part was okay, but let me tell you something. I've had the trouble and pain like you wouldn't believe. I even fell today, hit my head on the refrigerator, and hit my head on the microwave coming down.
You need to stop drinking Dr. Tissons. Or either start drinking it when you're in pain.
Good advice from the judge.
Yeah.
But, hey. I'll tell you what, you better watch out for termites. I looked and there was hundreds of termites under the board that crashed down.
Oh, they're terrible.
And that's what ate the board's strength out.
Wow.
See, anyway, what I was going to say, getting back to the more serious subject here, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea for college students to have a chance, like for a in other words, make a class that's showing you how to, you know, responsibly handle handguns.
I agree.
Absolutely.
The only problem is
a good class for college students.
Yep. The only problem is that the Marxists that run the colleges won't allow guns on the campus. They won't, you know, they even protested when the administrators started going to armed campus police. We don't want to live in some military environment. 20 years ago, most campus police were unarmed. And now it's like 70% are armed, but the Marxists still don't want them armed.
Well, I think it was on Facebook, but it's a news article. I think it was in Kentucky. I don't quote me on that. I have to look it up and put it on the website or something. They are teaching, I think it was sixth graders, gun safety. It was in a school
kind
system
of the Eddie Eagle kind of thing.
It wasn't Eddie the Eagle. It was actual school board.
Good.
A school class.
Yeah, that's good.
For safety. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was sixth graders that they were teaching. So
good
I think
time
that's,
to start.
That's a,
actually.
Mike, I tell you exactly. What I did. I spoke to a group at the University of Alabama Law School about 2 years ago, the Federalist Society. Good crowd, about 100 people. And we adjourned, and afterwards we went to the shooting range. And I had brought a full complement of all kind of stuff, and so we shot up the place.
I want to ask you something, please.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, when I went to Faulkner, I was in the junior college over in Bayman at there.
Yeah.
I knew some of the security people there. They were friends of mine. And they carried .357 Magnum revolvers. But let me ask you this. What if a security person like that was to have to use deadly force? Is that allowed for one of those security people?
He doesn't lose his right as a citizen.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's basically – the only question a guard has is whether he's covered by immunity or not. But on whether or not the shooting or lethal force was justified, he's just using his rights as an ordinary citizen.
I mean, I've heard of those security guards getting killed by people in the past at colleges.
Yeah. He's just, you know, one, he can use deadly force to, if he's faced with imminent lethal force, he can do that to save his life or to save your life. Now, there used to be, there's still some statutes on the book saying if someone is, like Mississippi still has one, if you're escaping from custody for a felony, well, that could be a bad check, charge, you know. So they that's not really good law anymore. But, yeah, generally, sure, sure.
Okay, I'm going to get on off of here and let somebody else talk.
Well, listen, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Judge, I have a friend that's a security guard, and where he works there are some posts that are mandatorily unarmed,
right,
and then others that are armed, and the Port Police and all is involved in it, too. So the security guard on a campus, if he's authorized
by his
job.
You made a keyword, Port Police. That comes under all kind of.
Well, but anyhow, going back to the college situation,
yep.
If his job has a requirement that he carry a sidearm, then that ought to sort of protect him, too, if he has to use deadly force.
Well, not
it?
Necessarily, because the only immunity you have from a what we're talking about is a civil suit under the Civil Rights Act, not a criminal prosecution, is if you are a state actor. And it gets to be really here, a police officer isn't, a state trooper is. So, but just go back to the other. If he is using deadly force to save your life from imminent threat of deadly force, he's fine.
Okay, and it has nothing to do with the status of his job.
No, no. But remember, just because his job is to provide protection, and if he fails to, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't sue him. You can't do anything because we got 100 Supreme Court cases that say that the police constabulary, their only responsibility is to the citizens as a whole and not to individual members of the public. That's why we push self-defense.
Yep.
Because when you need help, you know, within minutes, what is it, police are hours, within seconds, police are minutes away.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they like to say protect and serve. That's great. And most of the time they do. But, you know, they're not required to.
Yeah, didn't they come out and down after the Parkland shooting?
There you
they came
go.
Out and said that the resource officer had no obligation to protect those kids.
And I mean, that's just such hysterics, even file that lawsuit. That is such settled law. Now, if you're a police informant and they put you in the safe house and, you know, that gets a different thing.
Well, they're supposed to protect you.
Yeah, but not just the ordinary thing. And if that were the law, we couldn't afford the taxes. I mean, let's think
about it.
I just
couldn't believe that. I mean, that's your tasked as the resource officer for the school, but you have no responsibility to
protect the school. Now, keep in mind, you could get fired because of that or other
stuff. That is bad. That was kind
but of it's just, you know, it's like I can't sue the mailman if he forgets to bring a very important letter that day. Right. And, you know, it's just it's called sovereign immunity of the government. You just can't generally sue a state government. And that originally was understood as a part of the Constitution. Within 4 years, Supreme Court said, yeah, you can. They passed the 11th Amendment. And I think 3 months to clarify that.
Right.
Those are the days where they didn't put up with anything.
Right.
So that's pretty good. But folks, start noticing these no gun signs and take a picture of them. Send them to me, the judge at armedalabama.com, and we'll start putting some of them up because they're fake. And as I like to say, most of them are, as I like to say, do you really want to give your credit card number to somebody who puts up a fraudulent sign? I mean, that kind of concerns me.
Well, I was kind of surprised with the Waffle House signs, how far away from the door it is. I mean, it's on the
my wife was just talking around, talking.
So,
about,
I mean,
I think that's really plausible deniability.
I think so too.
But really, you know, the right case is going to come along where somebody leaves their gun in the car, and a madman comes in there and kills everybody, and they're going to say, you kept someone from exercising their right of self-protection. And I think it's about time for that. Somebody on Facebook commented, oh, you conservatives, you all whine about this, but you're all for private property. And I said, try putting up a no mixed couples allowed, no handicap served here. Try doing that and see how far you get.
Right.
So there's no such thing as free enterprise anymore. Right. That died a long time ago with FDR. Folks, we'll be right back after this break. Give us a call.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you men.
I don't know if you noticed it back with Armed Alabama on FM Talk 106.5. On our Facebook page, I posted, which is Armed Alabama FM Talk 106.5, I posted kind of a cute thing. Father's Day is around the corner, and considering how many men in the South like off-the-road vehicles and guns, I have the perfect Father's Day gift. And it's FN, which if you're a gun person and don't know about FN, you're not a gun person. But anyway, it's their Defender weapon system that you can put really in any kind of vehicle. But it's semi-automatic, computerized. And they show it on a Humvee and on a, you know, a couple of those things.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, even says good for VIP transportation.
Hey, yeah.
But it's basically a 7.62 NATO machine gun on the roof. It's got a radar because it shows a guy with a PS-90 firing at him from the bushes, and that thing just spins around. The camera doesn't
smoking.
Just so that's for the man who has everything.
There it is.
So,
there it
or has a bad golf game.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what to do though if a place, you know, if they're not legally allowed to have banned guns, and you know, you don't want to cause a problem. I just tell people, just make sure you're concealed.
Yeah.
You don't have to bear the biggest gun in the world so
go
everybody
deep.
Can see it. But, you know, if you want to push them, you probably get a lawsuit out of it because Abercrombie and Fitch doesn't have any right to ban firearms in their stores. And I'll hear people say, why can't they? It's private property. Well, we have a Second Amendment and common law right to carry a firearm. And like I said, private property was abridged by the Supreme Court 150 years
ago. And on that note, let me ask you this, Judge, because I want to make sure this is clear to everybody. If you are carrying on in a place that has that sign that's not lawful and it has no strength behind it whatsoever, but the management or whatever comes up and says, excuse me, sir, we ask you to leave the premise.
Yeah. Do you want to be in that store?
If you fail to leave the premise, then you're trespassing. Is that not correct?
That is definitely laid out in some states. That's the case. It's not in ours. And can they order you out for exercising a constitutional right? I don't know. But, you know, do you want to be shopping in a place that doesn't want your business? You know,
and do you want to make a scene? Do you want to draw a bunch of attention to yourself?
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
I don't really, you know, that's why I don't carry open.
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to carry open, good for you. I'm actually carrying open carry today because my concealed carry holster broke.
Yeah.
So I am carrying in my open carry holster.
I'm carrying open because I watched some old clips, one being from Gunsmoke, where Marshall Dillon, I always tell people a real gunfight is not where Matt Dillon steps out and you square off against him, and then whoever, you know, fires the best shot, quickest shot, wins. That isn't how it opened, but I'm wearing my reproduction 1873 single action, which is Uberti. It's funny, most of these are made by Italian companies.
Didn't Uberti owned by Beretta?
That's what I thought, and then I looked. I'm pretty sure it is because it says Stoger on it, but I think Stoger's owned by Beretta.
You know, in those old cowboy shootouts in the street, they sure missed a lot.
Well, I can see. I was looking at Dillon there. You know, you've got to pull out, cock back the hammer, not do it too quick. You might shoot your
right.
And then, you know, you can't really see your sight, front sight, until you cock it back.
Yeah.
So
there's not a whole lot of aiming in that kind of scenario. It's a lot of point shooting. The rifling, the guns were super. I mean, there's actually many cases where they did miss multiple times.
And they always say most of those were somebody coming up behind you shooting you in the head.
Right.
It wasn't like a duel.
Yeah, most gunfighters did not get killed in a gunfight. They got shot in the back of the head.
No, it wasn't a legitimate kind of duel. We had the rules and all of that.
And I know it was movies, but you'd see sometimes they would take careful aim and squeeze off the trigger and then. And I think this may have happened in the duels of the early part of our country. And then the other guy would take his turn, and eventually
one of them
would get
hit. Right. John Randolph was in a duel with John Randolph of Roanoke, real good conservative politician, with Henry Clay. And Randolph was an expert marksman, and he fired, he fired first, I think.
They took turns, didn't they?
Hit about 2 feet from Clay. Clay fires second. And goes right through, about an inch goes through Randolph's coat. And then Randolph, I think, fired up in the air. And I can't remember. Anyway, and Clay was trying to kill him, obviously. And Randolph, Clay came up to him and said, Mr. Randolph, I hope that settles our dispute. He said, it will after I receive a new coat from you, sir.
Some disputes never end.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Mike, call us back. I don't know what happened to him. He went. I don't know if he had to go.
No, I think he said he had to go.
Yeah, I think he did.
Inadvertently cut him off. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did.
I maintain we ought to legalize dueling. People are dueling every Saturday night at bars. There's just no rules whatsoever. And have the rules, have a dueling ground. Most of these didn't result in a killing.
I bet a lot of those would go away.
I think, you know, if you put the rules to it, a lot of disputes would get settled instead of
let's man up in the street.
Yeah, you know, kidnapping somebody and torturing them to death.
Yeah.
Just have it all out there. There's some dueling books. Maybe I'll put one on the site.
Speaking of dueling, just to throw this out here, I don't know if anybody caught this, but there were 42 shootings in Chicago over the Memorial Day weekend. City with one of some of the most stringent gun laws in the country. 42 shootings, and I think there was last I saw there was 5 fatalities.
It must have been the legitimate gun owners that were doing all the shooting.
It seems like it was a slow holiday for them because usually, when I lived there, when it first got warm, could count on about 100 shootings a weekend.
Well, and this doesn't excuse anything, but it's a huge percentage. Like 90% of the people that get shot could just as easily be the perpetrator. You know, they're involved in a lifestyle that
the vast majority are centered down on the west side and south side
dealing
of Chicago,
dope, the
where,
prostitutes,
where the drug dealers are and the gangs are.
Right,
and,
right. Then you know, it's
unfortunately,
still
there's a lot of innocents that get caught in the crossfire down there. But it is all. It's not gun violence. It's gang violence.
There
it's
you
just
go.
Violence. Period. So
you know, Will, another. Go ahead.
I was going to ask Will a question since you're carrying open today. Maybe I just don't look for it, but I don't remember the last time, other than in a pawn shop, that I saw anybody doing open carry.
Well, let me tell you a way to avoid trouble with that, Charlie. If you're going to open carry, wear a good leather belt or police Kevlar belt, and wear like a level 2 retention holster, because that tells people in the know, hey, this person might be undercover police, but he knows what he's doing. He don't want his gun stolen.
Right.
He don't want his belt. I mean, he is practicing safety instead of some, you know, Uncle Mike's holster that is the gun is going to fall out if you have to use the restroom,
right,
that kind of thing.
So or some kid could run up and snatch it out of your holster.
But there's so many people that carry big phones on their side, and I mean, there's so much stuff on people's sides that a lot of people don't even notice. They don't even look. They just see something hanging.
Somebody had a holster that looked like a cell phone box.
Yeah, they did. I can't think of the name of that.
Well, operators are calling, but nobody's going to. Operators are standing by, but nobody's going to answer.
There's a whole class, too, as you know, Will, of prohibited places to carry under federal law.
Right.
And you got to, you know, you pretty much know is every place the federal government owns or that holds in trust for us. You know, the federal, as I told you, the union courthouse, the union post office, the union TSA checkpoint. But, you know, there are a couple that are questionable. They take the position that kept in your car in a post office parking lot is illegal. Well, that's a regulation of theirs, but, you know, I don't want to be the one to fight it out in court.
Right.
But, you know, overbroad. But Alabama is pretty easy to tell. The only kind of questionable thing is the one that says any hospital or medical facility that provides inpatient psychiatric care.
Right.
Well, on an emergency basis, pretty much all of them do.
Right.
They don't. Providence Hospital doesn't keep people for 90 days, but somebody comes in gone berserk, they're going to keep them until they can find a place to put them.
Right.
So, you know, that's questionable, but as it's written now, it's probably not, they can probably post those signs and it's valid.
Mike made it back.
Okay. Mike, you're back. I didn't know what happened.
Well, I thought I was through.
I did too.
But anyway. So,
Has the bay down there? Is it rough and choppy? Or?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been out to see it. I've been trying to keep from falling around the house here as much as I can.
Right. Yeah, I'll be the doctor. Had your inner ear checked out? It could be a balance problem.
Yeah, are you feeling dizzy at all?
The porch collapsed on me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Did you go to the doctor and get your knee checked out?
I went to the hospital emergency room.
Okay.
At Singing River Hospital, and he said that there was no broken bones. And I said, well, it feels like it's got something wrong. He said, I didn't say it. There was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
There's no broken bone.
I don't go to the emergency room unless I can't stop the bleeding or the pain is intractable.
Right.
So I had a little...
Since I was called back on to online duty here,
we summoned you.
I would like to ask something, and I don't know if I know the answer to this or not. I kind of think I do, but anyway, I was on YouTube one time here a while back, and there was a guy talking about he had been incarcerated.
Yep.
And he was in prison for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he got out, but he couldn't legally buy a regular licensed gun, so he bought black powder guns.
I think that's correct.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
And he claims you
can't be
legally,
convertible to
even
a cart.
If you were incarcerated. I've never been incarcerated, thank God, but
Now, if you're incarcerated in the county jail for owing traffic tickets or, you know, right. burning on a no-burn day, that doesn't lose your right. Got to run, Mike. Thank you for calling
all right.
back.
All right.
We'll be right back, folks.
All right.
And I wonder just how long.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Why, you're going to pull those pistols or whistle Dixie?
I guess that was the whole quote.
Yeah, that's right. That's from Outlaw Josie Wales. I want to remind you, if you need all your guns, ammunition, sporting goods, go to McCoy Outdoors. They're our main sponsor of the show. They're a wonderful store. If you've never been in there, they personalize their service, and they're on Spring Hill Avenue just west of I-65.
We got
kind of right in the, oh, where the old K&B was. It had the cheapest beer and best ice cream.
They don't have the cheap beer and ice cream anymore, though. I asked.
Well, they don't. Yeah, McCoy's doesn't.
Yeah, not McCoy's.
Somebody commented on our chat about gun-free zones. I think John Lott has figured out it's something like 95% of the so-called mass shootings have taken place in gun-free zones, because you know that's where a criminal, like especially the guy in Colorado, the Aurora Theater shooting, right. he passed several places that weren't gun-free zones to go to a gun-free zone because he knew there'd be unarmed people there.
It's a soft target.
Yeah, soft target, and that's why the lawsuit failed, but I think eventually it's going to work, that if people declare themselves a gun-free zone, okay, but you better provide some type of security there.
Right.
To cover what the people would have provided themselves.
It's got to be in the right venue.
Yeah.
You know, the state, right state or something to that effect. Yeah. If you get down into a more conservative state, I think that passes.
Yeah, there's no question. It's just like being charged in a self-defense shooting. You get in Alabama or Mississippi, you shoot somebody in your home, you're not going to get charged. Now, if you're in New York and shoot a guy that has a mask and a butcher knife coming through your window, you're going to get charged. It's
right.
just kind of how it is.
Well, I tell you, I had a conversation with a friend of mine that's a super uber liberal. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like communist dude.
Yeah.
And him and I had this conversation about the gun-free zone, school zones.
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, the whole push to arm teachers and this, that, and the other. And my argument is, if we pass a law that says we are going to arm our teachers, gun-free zones are gone from schools, and teachers have the right to carry on the campus, even if there is not a teacher on that campus with a gun on them,
it's just the concern.
It will cut down 85% to 90% of all shootings.
A lot also did a survey
because
that
every
said
teacher could be armed.
Exactly,
burglars
they could be.
Take more time casing out houses in the U.S. than in England because they know that maybe 1 out of 20 is going to be armed,
right?
And they're deathly afraid.
It's
of
just
that.
You know, to me, if it's just an easy fix to cut down on a majority of those shootings if you just take that soft target.
It's the psychology that really helps. There's no question about it. On the places that can declare or that you cannot carry, you know, you can look that up in the Alabama Code. It's 13A-11-61.2. And what I was saying about the hospitals is inside a facility which provides inpatient or custodial care for those with psychiatric, mental, or emotional disorders. You know, that ought to be clarified. I doubt anybody has ever been charged with that. But the one thing that I love is 6B that words it in the negative. You cannot bring a firearm, even with a permit, into either a professional sporting event or a amateur sporting event, unless you've been issued a license pursuant to the – unless you have an Alabama pistol permit or reciprocal
right.
permit. Now, that's one where people probably don't want to – you're going to see Alabama and Auburn. You don't want to take a chance that they're going to say, no, you can't come in, and you won't be
right.
able to see it. But that's what the law says.
They won't let you bring an umbrella into a ball game.
Right.
Yeah. But like I say, under the law –
there again,
carrying an umbrella is not a constitutional
there
right.
There again, if you deep cover, they'll never know you got it.
And I tell you, I even deep covered on the beach several times with almost North American Arms,
right.
you know, magnums. And I appreciate it when a really strange person started following and talking to me and followed me right to my doorstep. So it was just one of those strange things.
It's always fun.
One thing to do, too, if the police question you, hey, you know, you've got a lot. I don't have to answer any of your questions. What's your name, sir? I don't have to give you that. I'd stick out my hand and introduce myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, obviously why? Say this is a gun whose serial number is filed off. And,
right.
But just
why
be friendly.
Hostility?
Yeah, calm and cordial.
It's the honey, you know, gets more flies than water does, right. Vinegar does. If you do that. Now, if you get a bad attitude going in, you know,
right.
Like one time, and I didn't blame him, it looked like a armory in the back of my Tahoe. And he had gun drawn coming towards me, and all I said was, hey, I'm going to my shooting range, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. I mean, he didn't say, judge. Now, I did have plenty of them say that at the time, but my advice to most people is if you put your firearm in the car in a place that's not readily seen, not visible, or is not in a place you're going to have to get to, like your insurance papers, you don't have any obligation right. to tell them in this state that you're armed. But if you got it laying on the seat or in a holster someplace they're going to see it, tell them. You don't have to, but you don't want to, you know, them to draw on you in some mistake that you might
right.
have did.
Well, and, you know, in my situation, I'm open carrying on my right side.
Yep.
So if God forbid I get pulled over, I will be both hands on the steering wheel.
Yep.
You know, sir,
you don't want to get out.
I do have a firearm on my right side. Yeah, I'm going to be reaching for my wallet on my right yep. side. I want to, you know, whatever's best for our safety.
Now, the most ridiculous stories I've heard is where the officer will say, you know, confiscate it for the duration of arrest, which he has a right to. But then he makes it safe. It's at night. Most accidental discharges are loading or unloading a firearm. And what are they, tens of thousands of different models of pistols? There's nobody that knows how to unload and load safely just first
impression. Well, God forbid you're carrying a revolver because probably more than half the police officers do not know how to unload a revolver.
That's right. And so I can understand them taking away, although it seems kind of silly because you have no criminal record.
Right.
Statistically, we know there's less chance you're going to do anything.
Judge, real quick, I'll be remiss if
yeah.
I don't throw this out
NRA.
Here. I'm the chairman of the Mobile Bay Friends of NRA. We do have an event coming up August 2nd. Tickets are available
online.
Battleship Pavilion, August 2nd. Doors open at 6 p.m.
Now, we'll tell you, the NRA link says not available now. Purchase online. I looked last night.
Really?
I just assumed because it's a couple of months off.
That's weird.
You can go to it. It tells
I'll
you about
fixed.
It.
But, yeah, it's friendsofnra.org. Go to State of Alabama and go on our link. Tickets are available at Caffeine Corps, Styx River Shooting Center, P&G Machine and Supply, Down South Arms, and Goldmine Pond should have their tickets tomorrow.
Good.
So if
and
you,
then
it,
when they have them
locations.
Online, it's no problem. Y'all just have them at the gate, so
right.
to speak.
Or you can give me a call at 251-753-6494. You can text that number, and I can answer any questions. Or you can email me at mobilebayfnra@gmail.com.
And I'll put up that info tonight again on the Facebook page, which I was real lax about doing it last week. But it'll have all the contact information, so you won't have to listen to the tape again,
so,
which I had to.
Getting back to the carry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say you have price ranges on ticket packages too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We are pre-selling our raffle packs, and the $1,000 raffle pack actually comes with a SIG P220.
When I get paid in a few days, I'm going to buy one from you.
It's a SIG P365, the little handgun. Mm-hmm. And there, Lipsy's actually has a NRA special edition that we're purchasing a bunch of, so we're going to be
it's
offering
not the kind of mini 1911 is
no it's the okay. P365 is a small it's unbelievable how much performance they got out of this little gun, but it's a very small double stack 10 rounds plus 12 or 12 round little concealed carry gun. It's a great
good.
gun. But getting back to the where you can carry, I would just say that it is better to be safe. You know, you don't want your rights taken away. I don't want to be disarmed anywhere. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6 is always my statement. But
yep.
I also don't want my rights taken away from me.
Absolutely.
For something, you know, that could have been avoided.
Especially by people that don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
And by the way, on the whole laws about reporting thefts of guns and all, just saw some polling information that says those make no difference whatsoever in crime rates, theft rates, anything. And the city council is about to have a hissy fit over, you know, doing something about that.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the reason people keep them in their cars is they're not sure where they can and can't legally carry them.
Yeah, that's about right.
But we'll continue in this kind of vein next week with more of Armed Alabama, same bat time and same bat channel.